Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, August 23rd. My wife's birthday, by the way, 2018. It is 9 a.m. and we're in the County Board of County Commissioners convening in the County Administration Workshop in the BCC Conference Room. President Commissioner Morgan, Commissioner DeYoung. And first up, I think...
And Commissioner Hare's on assignment.
And Commissioner Hare's on assignment, he is. And I think Community Development, Julie Smeltzer, is not here right off the bat, so but we do have Scott Chancy here from Transit. Scott, you want to come up and be first?
Gladly.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
What this is I alluded to this at a different meeting, that there were some elements that were missing from the bylaws of the advisory committee. And our advisory committee is posting double duty. So not only are they the advisory committee for all the funds that come in for the transit department, but also the statewide transportation improvement fund, which is the new funds. So there were some specific things that needed to get added. And once the administrative rules came out, I made those additions to this. So in the copy that came to you, the additions are basically highlighted in yellow. So what they wanted to see was specifically how the funds get ranked and distributed. So they get, even though this is included in other documents and other state rules, for some reason they felt it needed to be in the bylaws. So we put it in there. So that's under Section 1A and 1B. That's what those... That
I apologize. Is. You're going to have to go through it because the highlights didn't show up.
Oh, okay. So under A... there's two things that were added, so there's a 1 and a 2. And so the first one basically says that the prioritizations are based on the criteria adopted in the coordination plan. And I included the coordination plan in the back. And so that's a plan that's been long-standing. Not only did I include the prioritization, but I include the scoring matrix. Now, with all that said, the coordination plan was adopted in 2009. And we've never used the scoring matrix because we've not had a competition between projects, so everything that's come through gets funded. So anyway, that was duplicated under A and B.
Under Section 2, or Article 2, Section?
Article 2, Section A, or yes, Section 2A. There was one change in there. We had to have the definition of what's called a high percentage of low-income individuals. Why, I'm not sure, but it had to be in there. So what I did is just adopted that says we will define, or the stack will define, a high percentage of low-income individuals as any person or household that is, there's a typo in your guys' copy, that is at or below the state of Oregon's definition of poverty level.
Good say.
At or above.
Yeah, it's the...
Sweet,
the,
we all qualify.
Right, right. The final copy actually will say at or below. So that was the other... That was the other addition. Then the very final one, and I didn't agree with this one either, but there needed to be someone that was representative of the transit provider, so on the STAC committee or the STIF committee. So this adds the Josephine County liaison.
So this is Section C. Sorry, I'm looking at your highlights see where I'm looking on mine.
If that helps, there real quick.
So we're membership qualifications?
Kay. Yep, that's exactly where we're at. So what that did is it added the liaison to the transit department as
the board
voting,
liaison.
Correct.
Okay.
As the voting member on the STIF committee.
Okay.
And then the very final one is it states the term membership. So for some reason, if the liaison changes, the term membership of the transit provider, quote, ends and whoever the new liaison is appointed.
Okay.
So those are the only changes. It's kind of house cleaning.
I thought we can come up with whatever definition we needed to on the poverty thing.
We can. And rather than go through the whole definition of what the quote-unquote I just went with the state. They allowed us to do that, so I said, okay, we'll just go with the state definition of poverty level at that point or below. That's going to qualify if somebody's a high percentage of low income.
Okay.
So I do have copies of the LARs if anybody wants them that governs why these bylaws needed to be changed. There's a checklist, as you can see. I've checked everything off, so I think we're finally done.
Who is your current liaison?
Commissioner
So you get to be a voting member, aren't you lucky?
Smiley.
Yeah,
we see the smile.
But and like I alluded to, or like I stated earlier, we've never had an issue where we've had to really rank projects or anything. So,
can we take this? I would take this kind of as a positive sign that more of these would be coming down.
I would hope.
You know, because they're saying, okay, let's make sure we have all our ducks in a row locally, because there will be more projects coming through.
I'm not sure. And the reason I state that yet, I will. These funds, there's a sunset on these funds, and it's 10 years, but I'm hoping that if everyone does their job correctly and we follow all the rules and procedures and do what we said that we're going to do, that it will not only continue but increase.
How soon do you need this signed or adopted?
It needs to be adopted before I submit our final plan.
Which is when you're trying to do that, by when?
November 1st.
So do you mind putting it off, not next week's weekly business, but the week after?
I could do that.
Only reason I'm asking is we're having that housing hearing next week, and I imagine it's going to take a long time.
So that would be
September 5th?
5th. Yeah, I can do that.
I'm just thinking that you probably don't want to sit there and wait while we have that hearing.
Nope, that would be perfectly fine for me. Legals reviewed this. They were going to get me a resolution number because this will be passed by a resolution. So I will get that and get this document cleaned up completely and be back then on the 5th.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, that's all fine. You bet.
Trying to be mindful of...
Yep.
Yeah, my only deadline is...
We're getting a lot of people feedback, so I imagine there's going to be a lot of people testimonies, so...
There probably will be. So, yeah, my only deadline is make sure that this is completed so I can submit it to the state come November 1st. Because the funds will be ready to go April sometime 2019.
Is that all right with you?
Yeah. Okay, that it?
Yep, that's it.
For Scott?
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I liked having the preview before the... we knew it was coming.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I think... Larry, why don't you come up? We'll move to item number C, airports, Larry Graves.
I just was wondering, do you want to jump to E? Because of all the people in the audience that are waiting back to work.
No.
You don't... you're elected.
I'm not here as up there. I'm just listening from audience today, so...
Okay. But I assume several of you are here for the insurance discussion.
Yeah.
And... if we had that, we can let you get back to work. It was my only wondering, but JJ just left.
JJ present,
so
I don't see
he was.
He just stepped out.
Yeah, he was here. So.
Okay. Five.
You don't want to waste all this fine labor. So.
Okay, JJ, we're going to bump you up.
Yeah. All
right. We're going to take item E1. Right now, we're going to take item E1.
No worries.
Non-union insurance update, J.J. Schofield, to do his presentation.
All right. Thank you, Commissioners. I did email this yesterday, but I'm going to go through it. All right. So, the issue at hand really is the effects of our insurance rates for those who elect family coverage and how that relates to the ability to recruit and retain. That's how I view it. I've had one employee that we've left due to high insurance costs. A handful of others have come to me and said, I don't want to go, I like it here, but it's very expensive for me to cover my family, and if it doesn't change, I may have to look somewhere else. So that's really the catalyst for this discussion. Prior discussions a couple weeks ago, I came with a recommendation, but the board asked me to get some consensus with the non-union group before you all came to a recommendation. So we had a meeting. I kind of laid out, here's my recommendation, here's some other options. And in the meeting we went back and forth about some different types of insurance structures, what we thought would work best. And ultimately, there's anytime you talk insurance, it's hard to build a consensus. But we did have some consensus, and that was really in two things. One, for this year, the group was okay with a tiered structure, but they weren't sure at the meeting what the best contribution would be, so we wanted to get more information on that.
Did you take the options back to the group and have a discussion with the whole and have them weigh in on the options that were presented?
Yeah, I said, here's my
recommendation. You presented options up front, and then mm-hmm. you sent out an email for a vote. Did you pull back the group together to have them kind of weigh in on what options were presented so you can get a consensus from the whole group, not just those who emailed?
Well, what we did is we...
That's a yes or no question. Did you bring them back after you received feedback to take it to the whole group to see what the thoughts were from the whole group on what was presented to you by some people that responded by email?
No.
Okay. Why not? That's a common collective bargaining. I know it's not a bargaining unit, but generally speaking, you receive feedback, you take it back and say, okay, where's...
That's not what we asked for in the email.
It's what we asked for as a board of you 2 weeks ago.
What I was asked was try to find some consensus with the non-union group. You asked me to have a meeting. So we talked about in the meeting, here are some different insurance options. At the meeting, what was agreed to was a tiered structure, but there was not consensus on what the rate should be. So the best way to find consensus...
What do you mean what was agreed to? You took a vote and you had a number that was... The majority said yes, go to tiered?
Ultimately, yeah. We talked about here are some various options. We looked at, you know, should we do tiered rate? Should we do a composite rate? Should we do it based on a percentage? And it's, you know, there's a lot of pros and cons for all of those, and we walked through them, and ultimately we decided, well, we're okay with the tier, the group decided.
So they did take a formal vote, and you took account of how many responded that they wanted.
I would say it was
structure.
An informal vote. We said, is everyone okay with this? And there was a general consensus of yes.
Okay.
But we didn't say, let's raise your hand for yes, raise your hand for no. We didn't do that.
So I guess for me, that's not really a vote. When you got people that are trying to be accommodating, hear something out and get some feedback, that's not really a vote of, is this what you want? Because I'm getting feedback that tiered isn't what most everybody wanted. That if they're being forced into it, they'll do it, but it's not what people wanted.
Well, what we agreed as a group is this is what the structure for this year. We then decided that it would be a good idea to reformulate an existing committee that has not been in existence for a few years to look at insurance. So there's a non-union committee, and we also wanted to include electeds in that group where they hadn't been in the past to look at in greater depth, in greater detail for next year's rates. And maybe this is the best structure. Maybe there's something else that would be a better structure for next year.
So Commissioner Hare had an option that he had stated. And was that thrown out there as one of the things for people to vote on?
I don't know what option you're talking about.
Leaving the single E's where they are and doing a simulated for the others, but not decreasing anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the options.
Okay.
What I asked, and what you can see in the report I gave, is I asked three questions. There's three things that I wanted to know. One is how many folks were going to move to family. That's one thing the board asked me to find out. I estimated it would be about a 10% swing.
I should ask, how many responses did you get from...
I got about half. Half of the non-union group responded.
And I didn't respond because I know I'm going to vote on it. So I was watching what responses were coming in, and I assumed that there'd be some kind of consolidation of what was presented and brought back to the group of sorts of saying, okay, this is what people are saying. What is your thoughts on these options? Do you have a preference of this, this, or that based on what people responded? And that's what I was looking for. Did you have a second meeting to kind of say, all right, we asked for feedback from you all, and this is what feedback we got. Now, I'd like to have a voice to take to the board. What is that voice from you guys? Because that's what we asked you to do 2 weeks ago.
I don't think that's what you asked me to do.
That's what I heard Commissioner Hare ask you to do.
I think what I did is what I was asked to do. I had a meeting with the members. We talked about what are some options, and in the meeting, we agreed that this structure is probably the best for this year, and there was not consensus on what should be an appropriate contribution. And current contribution for single was an option. Something else was an option. I didn't give a preference. I said, what do you think is appropriate? Some people said, as you can see in my report, about 25% of people said, we want the contribution to either for employee only to be either what it currently is or higher. About 25% said, we feel that $700 is an appropriate contribution. And about 50% said that something less than the current contribution is appropriate for singles.
What is the current contribution for singles?
$966.30.
Is it going up? There was one email that said it was a 10-something number. There was another that said 960. So is it not going up?
The current contribution today is 966.33. Is it going up or not? Is completely dependent on the board.
There was one. There was like a cost of living built into it, or there was some change. One of the emails that went out from you had a different number in there, and one of them had the 960. So there was one number that finance had sent out saying it was actually supposed to be 10 something, and so that was confusing as well as what is the actual contribution rate for this next year going to be, based on if nothing changed.
If nothing changes, what I would recommend is inflationary increase,
which would have been.
It'd be
like 1086 or something
No, it would be lower than that.
It was 10 something, correct?
So the middle two tiers, I recommended going to 1075, but that wasn't based upon the inflationary increase. That was based upon if we took my initial proposal. What I did is I took the single contribution and I said, if we were to have the CDER plan. At no cost, and then the best dental and best vision, what would that cost? And then I added a little bit of money so there'd be some leftover for an HRA. And that was the baseline. And then based upon that baseline, I said, if we did this, what would the savings be, and how much could that affect the other three classifications? And that was the starting place, and then through collective bargaining with AFSCME, that number changed a little bit. That was really my baseline. It wasn't I want to take, I've heard a number of things where people had thought that the perceptions of the rationale was different than what it really was. The objective was to have a tiered structure where you have all the plans as equitable as possible.
That's the email you're referencing.
The new county contribution will be 1075. So it'll be about $200 cut in the new recommendation of the 870.
Who is that from?
Connie. Connie's response.
So that number isn't based on the inflationary rate.
So the inflationary rate, which is standard that we would do, that was confirmed by people in finance that would be going to, is going to be, so comparing the 960
but
cut to the 1075.
That number, we haven't used that number at all. I haven't even.
But it doesn't matter if you've used it, if it's the reality of where it would have been.
If you do.
I'm sorry, Gigi, I'm going to just stop you. I'm not going to go forward with this, and without, since there's only two of us here, I'm going to be very clear. I'm not satisfied with how this was handled. I'm not satisfied with the outcome. I don't feel that we have proper feedback or input. And shy of you leaving the employees alone and maybe figuring out something for the other ones, like Commissioner Harris said, I'm not going to support it. So either you wait for other commissioners to get back, but I would recommend you pull the whole group back together and you actually get consensus through a formal hands-raised vote or a paper vote where we actually know what people want and we actually see what the options are. But shy of that, you're taking away from people's compensation where they were hired based on an agreement. And we hire employees. We don't hire families. We hire an individual based on their... When I interview a person, I don't say, what are your family's contributions to our county? It is, what do you offer our county? And that is what we hire somebody based on. So to take from one and to give to another is not necessarily a good program unless you keep them where they're at and you can cover the other ones in a different way. But don't take away what you've already guaranteed and promised those folks. And I would recommend you pull back another meeting and you get an actual response from everybody. And shy of that, I'm not going to vote on it, and we have a deadline coming up in 2 weeks. And I think that's an appropriate response, especially from the feedback I'm getting from people involved, that they do not feel like they had an actual thing that they voted on. I'll give an example. When I was trying to finish my last class for grad school, I had signed up for an independent study, and I thought it was going to be based on the curriculum the class normally went on. And when I finally heard from the professor, he said, make an offer to me of what you'd like to do. Well, that scope was so big, I didn't know where to start. It was kind of like, what do I offer? Okay, I'll throw something out there. But there was no dialogue involved, and that kind of felt like that with this. You asked people to tell me what would you be willing to sacrifice.
That's not what I asked them.
You did ask
what's
an appropriate rate that you would go to.
What is an appropriate rate? And a quarter of the people said current rate is appropriate. which is a completely valid response.
And a quarter people said go with a low rate, and 50% didn't give you a rate at all, and another 50% didn't even respond. So to not take in the 50% who didn't respond as part of those numbers is still a vote of them saying, I don't have an answer for you of what would be less that's appropriate. So shy of bringing everybody together in the room and actually getting a vote, I don't think that we have a real consensus of what the staff is wanting. And I don't think that it's an appropriate for us to move forward with something without having that. And I've heard from all sides of this county.
I don't agree with it, but I value your opinion. 75% of respondents said that.
But only 50% responded.
75% of respondents said they were okay with a lower than current contribution for singles. 75% of those who responded.
Did you look at those who responded? So 35 of the group are single, no family, no kids, mm-hmm. no spouse. And 41 are a mixture of the other three.
Sure.
So 50% could have been not a single employee responding. Did you take a look at of those who responded, what categories they were in?
Singles responded in multiple categories. So there were singles that said 700. There were singles that said others. So
at rates? Again, 50% didn't respond at all, and that says something.
It's every vote everywhere. Anyone who's elected to any office doesn't get 100% vote. You take a poll, you don't get 100%.
Barely any people here you're talking about. There's a reason why you're not getting a response.
50% responded.
So, try if you pull in another meeting together and everyone who shows up getting a vote where they get to raise their hand and it be very clear on what they're voting for and with their understanding that they can vote for no change, no tier, whatever those options are, I don't feel comfortable moving forward.
Well, what I could say, I'm willing to do that. If the board would like me to do that, absolutely I can do that. One of the options that I laid out was no change.
I would like you to take the data you have right here and put a number with it, and then you go to the people and say, is this adequate?
Well, the 50% that said lower didn't give a number. So there is
they don't give a number. That's what I mean.
The number is arbitrary. They all did give numbers. The numbers were different.
You can all pick a number, but I want you to pick a number, one number. And one program, whether it's tiered, whatever it is, whatever your stuff says, whatever you came out with your poll, I want you to put together, this is what it's going to look like based on what I got back from you. Is that satisfactory? And then you take that proposal to the masses and say, what do you think? And if somebody says, well, it's not enough, or so on and so forth, then you go from there. But at least you have a solid number. Because this is confusing to me. First off, number one, I don't get any of it. But I can see where it affects people.
Sure.
I've never had the luxury of having health insurance my whole career. Because if I, as an employer, had health insurance through my company, I had to provide it for 29 other families. Couldn't afford that. So I went without myself. But I think we need to have some number and a plan and say, is this okay for the entire group?
So the other thing is I got an email at 6:13 p.m. last night.
I don't think you're ever going to get consensus of the whole group.
But you can actually take a vote and actually see yes or no. No, what here this
if you
option,
have a good
yes
number
no.
And the program you supply is voted on and 68% of the people say, yep, that looks good to me. The other 32%, it's yeah. The American way, you're just going to have to go along.
Commissioner Harris' option was that there be no cut to the employees and that the other ones be adjusted at a level, and it was sustainable to the departments can handle that. That is appropriate to have a vote on, well, if you insist on going to a tiered process. I still don't think tiered is necessarily... Another option is go with what the FOPO rate is and just give that coverage for everybody, and it's the same for everybody.
It's absolutely an option. We could do that. I talked about that option to the group. The downside of that option is everybody pays. Currently... there are people within multiple classifications.
No, I didn't say give them the insurance. I said give them the level of contribution from the county. And it's just equal. That's the contribution level. They pick their tier rate, whatever it is. It will help the families out better, or something like that. But, you know, where it comes down to right now, I got an email at 6:13 last night telling me what the recommendations were going to be for non-insurance. If the group got it at 6:15 last night, they had no opportunity to respond to this. So the fact that I got it at 6:13 last night is not enough time to respond by 9 o'clock in the morning when it's coming to us. That's not in good faith seeking feedback. And that's my issue, is we have to, as much respect as we give to our unions, we have to give to our non-union. And if we're not doing that, we're failing. And we have to give them equal standing. And the value of hiring good managers with the experience they have is important.
If we put this off, because first off, I'd like to see Commissioner Hare here, because I'm sure he's going to have something to say about it. If we put this off 1 week to admin next Thursday.
Can we do it Tuesday instead of Thursday?
Can you pull a meeting together with a group before
that?
Can
you pull it? It's up to you.
I don't think a hands-on meeting is the best way to get the most feedback. You don't think 50% is appropriate?
Did you have that many show up in the meeting?
We had about half show up at the meeting. I think if we have a, can you show up today?
With 1 day's notice, you had that many respond? How about give them 3 days' notice, 4 days' notice, and you can actually get a response? People have time to move their schedules around and get there. That's a pretty good turnout for less than a day's notice. So
if you put together a meeting for Monday, could we have a response from you from the group for Tuesday morning's meeting?
Yes.
Then that's what I would recommend.
Commissioner Hare will be back then. I'd feel more comfortable doing it that way.
I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
Thank you,
JJ. Let me write that one down.
So that I am clear on what you're requesting, you want me to have a meeting on Monday. You would like me to ask the group, here's my recommendation. Is this okay with you?
That could be a starting point, I guess, or other nominations.
I would like to see you have numbers. Have your program all laid out. Have the numbers all there. Say, these are the numbers. This is how it affects you. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
And have the various options. Here's the FOPO option. Here's the Commissioner Hare option.
You're asking two separate things.
I know that.
Right. You're getting direction from you, which is entirely different. Basically, you're saying start from scratch.
And no, you got feedback, and I'm not saying start from scratch. I'm giving you three options to put out for a vote. Or four options. Your first one, that was the 700, which I don't think anyone's going to vote for in good faith.
I take umbrage with that, because basically what you're saying is
25% of people. You interrupted me, and I'm going to ask you to not. The second option is the 860 or 870 that you came up with. The third option is what Commissioner Harris said, which was no reduction to the employees and then a tiered up for the other groups. And then the other option is a flat rate for everybody, that it's not the insurance of FOPO, but it's the contribution of FOPO. It's middle of the road from what all the unions are, and that's a there's four options.
So you want a composite rate structure with a set contribution level for the fourth option?
No. The current insurance structure with the county contribution, the same as what they're doing for FOPO.
Okay. And then I'll give here's the costs. Because all those will have different
costs
for the county.
There's four things they can vote on. You can do it by paper, and you can see what the consensus is, or you can eliminate two, or you can come up, whatever you do. I want to see that the majority of the group is agreeing on whatever comes back to us.
Okay.
If you're going to do that at that meeting, you have four different things, and if you narrow it down to two, can you vote again on the two and say, okay, we're going to get, but then we leave or we're going to have one thing we're taking to the board on Tuesday morning.
So what I will do is I will have four options as laid out by Commissioner Morgan. I'll say, here are the options, here's the costs. We'll take a vote. If there is a clear winner, we have a winner. If there is we've narrowed it down to two, we will narrow it down to two and vote again.
Okay.
We'll have that done by Monday.
So I guess I'm going to ask this. Can we treat it like a primary, that if you get more than 50% of the vote on one of the four options, that it prevails?
We can do whatever.
You don't need to. I mean, they can do two votes and it gets there. It won't be a long thing.
It'll all be done in one meeting. I'll make it happen.
I just want Tuesday. This needs to come back next
week. Yeah, people
week.
Have to
done.
Have time to register for their insurance, which is the week after
week.
That.
And you know that. You've been trying to get this thing done for a month, so... So you have clear direction?
I have clear direction. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. All right,
thank you all for being here for
me. We will move back to airports.
I'm ready.
I've got my striped shirt and whistle on right now, so we'll be all right. Yeah, Larry Graves, Airport Planning Services contract for master plan at the Grants Pass Airport between Josephine County Airport and Kaufman Associates.
This is a pretty straightforward contract. This is the contract between Josephine County and the contractor for that's reflected in the FAA grant that we've just received to do this master plan. So the FAA is willing to pay 90% of the reasonable and actuals that are generated, you know, from this work.
Is it different than what we approved last month?
We approved last month a contract between Josephine County and the FAA.
Got it. So now it's the contract.
So the FAA said, hey, we'll give you the money if you enter into a contract with them and do the work that we think you're going to do.
Sweet. It's why it sounds familiar that we just voted on the same project.
This has come back to us because the FAA continues to have other requirements.
So. Yes. Yeah, they continue. You know, their requirement has been, generally speaking, we want you to have a master plan update every 10 years, and we're willing to pay for that. But then I've been militating and agitating and jumping up and down and saying, we need a runway extension. And they said, okay, we're willing to consider that, but now you have to have a master plan update before we'll give you the consideration
at 6 years.
Is
their thinking that we have a master plan requirement of every 10 years, and is their thinking we're 6 years into it, and that when the project actually drops, we'll be beyond our 10-year master plan? So they say if you do an updated master plan now, it's 10 years, and it will include the scope of that extension.
Yes.
That's what I'm guessing. They're thinking that our master plan will run out, and rather than take the chance that the master plan changes for some reason, oops, we don't want the runway extension, then they're hanging their hat on something that's never going to happen.
Right. And to be honest, this master plan is one of the most extensive that I've ever seen. I mean, this is something that SFO or O'Hare or JFK would go through, because they're going to do a laser radar survey of all the terrain within 10 miles of the airport. And they want to know, for example, when we extend the runway, we have an instrument approach that brings airplanes from some distance up and out down to the runway surface. Okay.
Is there any obstruction?
Now we move the runway 1,500 feet this way. What effect is it going to have? You know, how much closer to the mountains and the trees are we going to get, et cetera? So this is going to create a baseline that, I mean, our mountains don't move around very much every year, so this will create a baseline that we can use for the next 20 or 50 years for designing instrument approaches.
And our current master plan does not have that information.
Does not, yeah.
Well, I can see that. I was trying to justify in my own mind why they would want to have a new master plan, and now I see why.
And they've imposed additional requirements in the 6 years since we've completed in 2011 the master plan for Grants Pass Airport, especially for airports that are as busy as ours is becoming.
Well, I think an updated master plan also opens doors for grants.
It does.
You know, because now we're current. We have a current master plan. We're not at the...
We already did have a current one, but yeah.
But we're not at the sunset of our current one, which the last 40% of it is.
Well, to illustrate exactly what Commissioner DeYoung just said, the door for a grant to extend our runway is closed today because we don't have this, okay? And so it will open the door for a grant, which would be anywhere from, I think $6 to $10 million, you know, by the time it gets here, for the extension of that runway. And there's a component of this I also wanted to mention, and that is our 10% match, which will be about $57,000. And I will be applying for a CORE grant, a State of Oregon Critical Oregon Airport Resource Grant, in October, to supply that 10% match. And I'm fairly confident, since this is matching FAA grants is the number one priority of the CORE program, and I think that if we get in a timely application, that they will probably approve that.
With the runway extension, where does that put us in comparison to other airports regionally? In other words, are we going to be as long as Eugene or Medford or whatever?
Well, Medford's 8,800 feet. Eugene is somewhere around 6,000. We won't be as long as them, but we will be as long as we can be in our little valley, Okay.
Okay, so in other words, we're going to be at, what?
5,500 total.
5,500 total, and right. We couldn't go to 6,500 because...
We could probably go to 6, okay. But the FAA has guidelines and policy.
Well, they got a punch factor, I'm sure.
They do, and they typically will not fund runway extensions beyond 5,500 feet for airports of a certain category. Ours being that category.
We probably won't get into another category just because of our geographic being down in the hole.
We'll find out for sure with this master plan study. Plan. Yeah. And this Martinez Geotech survey will be the definitive say-so on, you know, how far out could we go and have instrument approaches that come in over the, you know, the Sexton Summit notch and all that, you know, to keep everybody away from terrain, so... it's a good thing. I'm very impatient. I bridle at the fact that, you know, this is going to push off the runway extension construction another 2 years. But I also understand,
I see their reasoning.
Yeah.
I really do. I see their reasoning why they want an updated plan, because then it puts it within the plan. All the work will be done within the plan rather than the plan have taken. Changing right in the middle of work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the other way around. I can see that.
And with the imposition of terrain clearance requirements, which are constantly changing, and the air traffic office is always updating and changing its guidelines for how close we will allow aircraft to approach terrain if they have this amount of electronics on board, you know, this level of GPS with this granularity of, you know, if you can keep track of where you are plus or minus 1 meter, they have good confidence that you can stay away from the terrain, and they will allow you to get closer to the terrain. Okay, it's just those kinds of things which are always changing and updating with technology, and it'll be good to have all of this data as a baseline. I wish we could have gotten this started 2 or 3 years ago.
We don't have to put in a tower or anything for traffic.
We will never be a commercial service airport.
Okay, good.
And the reason for that is the FAA's put tens of millions of dollars into Medford.
Yeah.
And that's the commercial service airport for this region. And we're only 23 or 25 miles away from them. So they're not going to put money into commercial service airport that's right next door to another one. So,
right. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. Commissioner Morgan?
When do you think you'll hear if you can transfer that CORE grant over?
We have already heard. I've discussed this with Commissioner DeYoung, and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to update you. Because of the timing and the age of the CORE grant that we have, we discussed 2 weeks ago, we had a conference call with ODA, and we looked at three options. One option is continue on and go to the State Aviation Board and ask them to allow us to use $56,000 from this current grant of $150,000 toward matching funds for this FAA grant. The other option was to give it back to the state and roll the dice to see if we get a new CORE grant to be the matching grant for this. Okay, and that application cycle starts in September. Okay. Next
month. Signing this contract, one of the things we dealt with last time is that any work done before the CORE grant was signed, you don't get reimbursed for.
Yes, very, very good point.
So this is signing now, and we don't start the application process till September.
Yes, and so I brought that point up, and I said, look, if we give this thing back, and we already have the FAA grant, and we'll have a contract to start work with Kaufman, and they'll start GEO services work with Martinez, that work is going to get started. That work is going to be underway in September for 6 months before we would ever get a new CORE grant. The money would be available to us in March, okay? So you're looking at a six-month period of time where work is happening and we're incurring cost, and then we have a 10% match that we have to pay on that cost. And I've had discussion about the answer to that question. ODA said, stop a second and wait on. The rules are, we will not reimburse you for previous expenses invoiced. So if you get an invoice and it's dated March 1st, it's eligible for your new grant, and we'll pay on that. So then the discussion is with Kaufman and Martinez Geotech and Precision Approach Engineering, hey, you guys...
Do not invoice me till next year.
Don't invoice me till March. And they're like, yeah, yeah, no problem.
Okay.
It's guaranteed.
I mean, so you're not going to go to ODA and ask for the transfer of that portion and say we'll return the rest?
Yes, I'm not. They will reimburse us for expenses that we have on that grant, which is $3,000 roughly. And so we've invoiced them for that. They've approved the payment, and they have thanked us profusely for giving the money back to them because they can assign that money to other airports that have projects that are did not get funded, and they're ready to go right now.
Okay.
So I felt that there's some goodwill that we've generated
that
with ODA and with a couple of airports. And these are the same people who will be accepting our grant application for the matching money for the FAA and evaluating us on that. And I think in balance, and I tried really hard to get additional money toward that fuel tank we need at the airport, which was where I was going to spend this $150,000 core. And Regional Solutions turned me down. USDA, Regional, or Rural Development, it wasn't going to go. I mean, I've had these discussions with these people, and it's amazing how many people I know who are grant makers. and I just was not successful in coming up with a big chunk of money to augment this $150,000 grant.
And the original on that tank was what we were trying to talk about.
$200K.
It doubled, at least doubled.
Yeah.
So, you know, somewhere along the line, we didn't get good information.
Well, that has
implications. Have you reached out to other airports that have put in one of these fuel tanks and said, how much is it?
Yeah, yeah. Prineville just did a huge thing. Kelly Kofelt, the airport manager there, has been very helpful. Talked with Gary Judd of Bend, and I've talked with a bunch of other engineering companies, and I've talked with Mascot, who builds these tanks and installs them, and just sort of informal discussions about, hey, give me the real story on this. If we could have found that tank that we need used, and these things, I mean, they never break down. There's no moving parts. I mean, it's just this big, huge cylinder, right? The problem is they're rare as hen's teeth, and when they come available, they get snapped up immediately. We could have done it. We could have done it conceivably. And I've been, you know, in 2 years, we've been pulsing all the military and government state surplus, you name it, looking for a suitable, fully insulated 15,000-gallon Jet A tank, and we just have not been able to find one.
Yeah, but we're still looking.
Yeah. And it, of course, it had to have timing. You know, I mean, you know, I'd say, okay, I'll buy it, but I don't have any money yet.
You've got to save up.
It's a real challenge, being always having your hand out, you know.
Yeah.
It's not any way to live. I don't recommend it.
That's the way we've been living down here in Southern Oregon forever.
Yeah.
You know, we invented the cardboard sign. No doubt about it.
So I think overall, the tactic of giving back that core grant and garnering a little bit of goodwill from all the players involved, and then I think that the probability that we get a core grant to match this grant here come September application time, and then it goes before the State Aviation Board, and we'll get final approval, and I'll have another contract to bring to you for that grant in the March time frame. I think that'll be good.
Any other questions?
I bring up our agenda next week. I just want to, there is that housing thing. There's no way to really know how long it'll go. So, I mean, I just want to make sure that we're talking about that as we're scheduling for the sake of... Now, watch, next Thursday is going to be such a loaded admin that the WBS the next week is like 3 hours long. But, no, I don't know. I just thought I'd bring that up because, to me, this is straightforward. We're already...
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to take long.
Yeah, I don't...
Well, I would ask maybe that you put it early in the agenda. And we.
The problem is that the public hearing's first.
Sure.
So that could, we have no idea how long that public hearing is going to go.
Well, you know, the issue is, you know, how much time am I going to spend sitting around waiting? So
yeah.
I can certainly listen at my desk to the proceedings and, you know, live and get a feel for when they're going to wrap up and then jump on my horse and ride down, you know.
I just want to be mindful of your time.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. It's fine. Yep.
But I'd like to also get this thing done. So why don't we just leave it on the WBS, all right?
Okay. Scott's was easy because his isn't due till November, so he had a buffer.
Sure. Move forward to the WBS and admin on the WBS.
Okay.
And you'll keep an eye to see how long
I will do that. Yeah. Okay. And I'm sure, you know, we'll have Wendy will text me or something saying, get your butt down here.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Your time is valuable, so I just want to make sure we.
Okay. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Larry.
All right.
Have we heard from community development, Ricky, at all?
No, I've checked a couple times with Wendy, asking her to try to get a hold of Julie.
Okay, just for the record, 1A, which we've been kind of putting off, is community development duty smelter. Item 1A1 is unsafe structures and equipment ordinance. So right now we have juvenile. Sean? Item D is juvenile justice. Sean Martinez will do the presentation. Item D1 is a grant agreement number 154963 between State of Oregon Public Health Division, Health Promotion and Chronic Disease Prevention in Josephine County, Juvenile Justice Substance Abuse Prevention.
Mike, are you here for this one or the next one?
Next
one. Okay. Right. Just one.
I'm happy to chime in.
Well, I just was going to bring you up too. If you're
going to say, why don't you come up, Michael, just in case we have any questions. Is that okay with you, Sean?
Sure.
Good. I appreciate that.
If there's questions, you're both there for.
Yeah, we have questions there beyond record, and we're all set.
So this is an error on my part. This is the contract between the Boys and Girls Club and Josephine County from this grant agreement. So we've already signed the IGA. This contract has been almost a year in the makings because our public health, chronic promotion, and chronic disease prevention department had to approve subcontractors. So this is the Boys and Girls Club contract for doing smart moves. In
so they're the subcontractors.
Yes, so they are the subcontractors of this. I thought Leah had corrected it and sent it over, but it doesn't look like it got corrected on the agenda, so I apologize for that. This is parent curriculum, so they do the strengthening families, and they also do the smart moves, all sixth graders, Grants Pass School District, and Three Rivers School District.
So we had questions of if this is one I can sign as liaison, because it's a subcontract of an IGA that's already approved, or if it's listed as a new one. And so I had asked you to verify with Leah.
Right. And so this, you actually signed the Boys and Girls Club, and it was supposed to be Women's Crisis Support Team.
Oops.
Which you can sign as the liaison. The Boys and Girls Club contract is for $104,000.
So above my rate.
The full board needs to sign it.
Okay.
So I'll make sure to vote yes when we get that one so I can sign it.
Thank you.
When we put this on it, I'm going to ask this question. This is really... I'm having a hard time following this.
Yeah.
So when we read this title, when this goes into consent, this isn't what it is right here, what I just read. You said it is not a grant agreement number such and such between the State of Oregon and chronic disease.
Right.
It is for...
I put the wrong title on it. We already have that IGA and that
this,
grant.
Yeah, this
has already been approved July 1.
Sub-agreement.
Right.
Between
so we're subcontracting out to Boys and Girls Club from that IGA grant number.
Okay.
So we, I'll be quiet.
We need to get what's prim and proper for when we do move this to the consent calendar, because that's what people are going to read.
Right. And I think, did Leah bring that over yesterday?
Yeah.
Or Chantel?
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Chantel.
So we've got,
we have
the correct.
I apologize. I don't do it often enough.
No, that's
I just
fine.
Like.
We'll apologize. As long as we get it cleared up before everybody finds out about it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions, Commissioner Morgan, about this at all?
No, it's a program that's been going for a while. And
yeah, it was just a little bit of history is that the prevention funding used to be with the addiction services, so the treatment and prevention dollars all came together under one IGA. It was we had an RFA process, and then the state moved the prevention dollars under public health with the chronic, I don't even know what dissection, promotion and chronic disease prevention. Their contract is different. So some of the things that I normally did were a little bit different, and so it just took a little bit longer.
Okay. Well, we get the right stuff down here for
yep.
a thing. And then item number two, Women's Crisis
yep.
Prevention
item
Program.
Item number two is this
I
is...
I need to read this.
Okay.
Okay. Item number two is Women's Crisis Youth Prevention Program contract to provide services to Three Rivers School District. Sean.
Thank you. So this is some of the conversations we've had around utilizing the marijuana tax revenue that came in to mental health substance abuse. And it is a $50,000 contract for Women's Crisis Support Team to provide services, the WINGS program, to middle schools in Three Rivers School District.
They currently do it at Grants Pass High School. And this is expanding to Three Rivers. And the idea was that we're trying to also build some supports with juvenile employee out there for intervention in the schools, each of the three sections, and the school resource officers that we have funded in the three areas. And this would be another branch of that, is bringing in an educational prevention program into the schools at the junior high and high school levels. So this is, they do it at Grants Pass High School, but this is getting into the county schools.
Okay. All right.
And so $50,000.
The money coming from?
Her marijuana.
She got
mental health.
There was $210,000 that was one-time funding. And so, as Lily had mentioned, this is really phase one of our pilot project. So we're Boys and Girls Club will be in there for sixth graders. Women's Crisis Support Team with the WINGS program will be at the middle school. They're already in the high school. Three Rivers is funding that piece. And then bringing in the new juvenile justice prevention case specialist to each.
So this is...
will be the next step.
You're using one-time dollars, the $210,000 is one-time thing. How's the program going to go on year after year after year?
Well, this is a two-year pilot project. Mm-hmm. And then it's still not clear... the hope is that those fundings that were the one-time funding that was given will then be RFA'd out in the future.
RFA meaning?
Request for applications.
So she gets all the money for Josephine County treatment, come to her, and all the treatment agencies apply to her through LADPC, one of the committees that I'm liaison to.
Right.
And as a group, we vote to who gets those monies.
You prioritize.
So this would go to that process down the road?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, there's no for sure because the state hasn't really formally said what was happening.
But we're a pilot project.
Yes.
So, do we have starting data, and then do we have, so that we can show at the end of a two-year pilot that we have... Mm-hmm. Prevented, because it's prevention.
Yes.
Youth prevention program. What are we preventing them from? Do we have data on how many kids, I guess I'll just throw out, how many kids smoke pot, and then you're going to go a two-year program and then poll again how many kids smoke pot in 2 years from now that it's down?
Yes. Yes, in theory. So each school will have a strategic prevention framework in place to address the needs of that specific school, because what is at North Valley may be different than Illinois Valley, different at Hidden Valley, different at Grants Pass High School. And so that may not be the one evaluation piece that we focus on. It's substance in general, alcohol, marijuana, it just depends because...
Well, I want to make sure that if this is a pilot program where we're going to be able to reapply...
Yes, yes. Yeah.
We need a strong case going into that second
Absolutely.
Application.
Yes.
In order to, hopefully, we'll get that money.
Yes.
Are there other pilot programs throughout the state?
No, this is unique. We've created something that's not like anything else in the state.
And that's the Josephine County way.
That's right.
Is to be unique. And that's...
An evaluation is always part of the prevention process. That framework is... evaluation is the end piece. And it just gives us opportunity to... make changes throughout the two-year process and really refine it and hope for great outcomes.
And if you didn't have this program, you have no idea what's going on in school. So that's the takeaway I get is that you are there, you're a presence, and therefore you are exposed to the information. If we didn't have anything at all in the schools, you'd have no idea. You'd be guessing what's going on in schools and high schools.
Right.
I just wanted to point out, you do an annual survey of 8th graders and 11th graders, correct?
The state does, yes.
The state does. And it...
annual survey of the kids?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Of alcohol use, marijuana use, tobacco use, no use, all that kind of stuff?
Yes. In the past, there's been Oregon Healthy Teen Survey, and then there's the Student Wellness Survey. And Josephine County has, both school districts have participated in that in the past 6 years. Prior to that, we used a drug and alcohol survey through the Commission for Children and Families. And so the nice thing about the Student Wellness and Oregon Healthy Teens is we're compared against the state level as well. Mm-hmm. It can be a countywide and school-specific data that we can draw from. The state is going to combine those two surveys into one survey that will be done every year. And then Three Rivers School District did a pilot project this year, and they actually surveyed all of the students 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade were surveyed last year. So Heather Ackerman, our tobacco coordinator, is currently working on the data to pull that out, to utilize that. So
okay. So it gives us some idea.
Yeah, kinda, absolutely.
It's what showed us that this year there was an increase in use in our schools. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think the data collection is probably the most important part. How do you, you need to know how deep this cut is before you know how many stitches to put in.
Right. And we had seen in the past 7 years prior to the past year, a decrease in the substance abuse across the board in Josephine County. And so it's not a surprise that when you have perceived risk going down that you're going to have an increase in the marijuana use. So that's kind of our focus is on perception of risk.
As is more common for everybody to have it, there's no risk, right?
Right.
Well,
accessibility.
I think the legalization of marijuana, all of a sudden the youth and everybody else gets it's okay.
Right. And it's everywhere.
Can't be harmful.
And, you know, it's in everybody's
legal.
Face. It's advertised. Lots of, I mean, there's still lots to be done along legislative-wise with marketing.
You think?
You two would actually have a lot to talk about.
Oh, Sean, you're speaking to the choir.
Yes. I do that often.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Commissioner?
Not with me.
So Leah has drawn up the contract for me.
Okay.
I've shared it with Women's Crisis Support Team for them to look over.
Okay.
And then it's $50,000, so Lily can sign off on that.
Okay.
I just wanted to come back and share with, we're kind of moving forward with.
So we're comfortable.
Using marijuana dollars. This was budgeted. We presented it.
Right. And so we're comfortable with one D1 and 2 moving forward to consent?
I think D1 can go to consent, but we got to fix the title.
Right.
And D2, just verify, can I sign at $50,000 or is it under
$50,000? Yeah, no, you can sign 50.
Okay.
And it's 50 for 2 years, so it's really
25
for a year.
Yeah, okay.
So, is it a separate contract every year? Do you
so that one doesn't...
I would imagine it's the same contract.
It's a two-year contract.
All right.
So I can just sign that one. It doesn't need to go to consent.
So that one doesn't. So we'll take 2 off of consent?
Correct.
All right. Got it. Okay.
And then I need to leave. These are the original contracts to get signed.
Yeah.
And then, Lily, this is the contract that you need to sign.
Okay.
She'll take care of that for you right now.
Perfect.
But it still has to go through.
Save you a trip.
Okay.
They have to make copies of it, though.
Okay. And then send back to me?
I believe so. Is there a second one or just one?
There's just one.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very
much.
Thank you. You bet. Great work.
Mike, thanks for talking so much.
Yeah.
Hey,
sometimes you can't get me to that.
Mike, you're for public health?
Yep.
Talking to you about
that on
the agenda, sorry. Okay, I pulled him up because I saw public health division. I figured.
I didn't think about it.
Moving on to item number F, Veteran Services. F1 is approval to transfer $100,000 from Forest Trust Fund, and we're going to table that until Commissioner Hare can be in. That's why we tabled it for today. So we will bring it up next week.
Okay.
Next up is item G, Public Health. Mike Weber is on board. G1 is Solid Waste Program Reinstatement.
And I would like to correct that. I don't believe it's Solid Waste Program Reinstatement. I think it's just instatement. I don't believe
it's not a re.
Yeah. Morning, Commissioners. So this isn't necessarily for approval. It's mainly for informational purposes, but there will be some guidance I'm going to be asking for.
So we approached the Solid Waste Agency about funding a solid waste program for Josephine County. And I know you're all familiar, but just to kind of refresh, there's some trash around the county, quite a bit of it. And what we're looking for is a way to actually manage these complaints as they come in. And
are you talking compounds and things of that sort?
Compound, everything from compounds, 50-gallon drums next to river full of whatever, you know, 4,000 tires sitting on the property next to the freeway. It's all of the nuisance complaints, all of the public health hazards, all of the compound issues. It's sort of all of those. And we have hundreds of these complaints, and they've been coming in for some time now, long before my tenure here. And we didn't really have a mechanism for managing it. Planning has been taking these complaints in, and they've been documenting them, and to a small degree, they've been kind of tackling them. Technically, by statute, a lot of that responsibility falls to the public health department, and it's something that, quite frankly, hasn't been getting done over the last however long. But when I first became aware of this issue, it was also obvious that public health doesn't actually have the infrastructure or capacity really to address it. We don't have a mechanism for taking these complaints in, for documenting them, for evaluating them against a statute or ordinance standards. And as a county, we don't have any way of actually measuring how bad is. So what we've done is we've sort of built a multi-department program, and it'll incorporate planning, managing the intake of these complaints and processing them, and public health providing an environmental health specialist dedicated at or near full time, just conducting an assessment of each of these sites and evaluating them against potential public health hazards, support from the sheriff's office, and a whole lot of support from the legal department for pushing these through the full process.
When Commissioner Morgan and I were going to County College, one of the things that we brought up numerous deals, and the lady from DEQ, oh, that's us. That is us. You just call us and we'll take care of it. Boy, Lily was on her like a cat. And said, no, we have asked, and it just, nope, it falls on deaf ears. Is DEQ somebody that should be in your circle of nights?
They are incorporated at certain points, and it depends on the type of complaint that it is. For instance, there was one property that we did clean up recently on, sort of before this could be implemented, but it was an important one. It was about a $22,000 cleanup. DEQ came out and supported us on that, and they helped provide a lot of the guidance. But there was specific hazards.
Support financially? Do they say, you know what, we have money in our thing to help you clean that up? That is in our wheelhouse, or 40% of that cleanup is in our wheelhouse, so it's $22,000, and we're going to give you $8,500.
I know that that's a case-by-case thing, and I couldn't give you specific numbers. I know at times they're heavily involved, and other times they're not.
Just a question I had. If they had a fund that you could basically say, you know, we're going to take these on a case by case, and you have 25% participation in this one, so 25% of 8,000 is $2,000. You know, you have a fund that you can shovel $2,000 into the mitigation.
Yeah, and I don't know how often that'll be consistent. What I will say is, when it comes to funding these, our preference isn't us or them, it's actually the individual that owns the property. That's always our first preference, is to have an individual clean up the property themselves. And planning works closely with people to help them get that done. And oftentimes that's the route we go. Sometimes that's the route we go after a judge says, no, you will clean up that property, or a lien will be placed on your property and the county will do it for you. And they oftentimes will then start moving a bit quicker. So,
but we go after that.
Yes.
Whatever comes out of the Solid Waste Agency and we have to spend cleaning up 1, 2, 3, 4 Woodland Park Road, whatever that is, that becomes a lien on the property. We go after that to recoup what we spent cleaning it up.
Okay. Yes.
So I guess if you said DEQ, you've got a 25% element in it, or then they would get paid back 25%, so it's a walk. I guess it's, yeah.
Yeah, more from DEQ perspective, I'm interested in their expertise and staff support. So kind of to pull all this together, so we have this program in mind of how we'd like it structured. We have additional staffing and planning so they can manage the intake, and especially on the compound side, they have so much work to do. And we have hundreds of these complaints to get through. And on top of that, we get roughly, 30 to 60 additional complaints every month. So right now, we're trying to swim ahead of a wave. And every year, Solid Waste Agency assigns $100,000 for supporting cleanup costs on these properties throughout the county. The issue is we've never really tapped into those funds. And the real reason we haven't tapped into those funds is because we don't have a mechanism to figure out what should be cleaned up first, let alone start identifying properties to go through that process.
Now, that $100,000 a year, is that a cumulative?
No.
So it just stays at $100,000? That's all that's available through Solid Waste?
Well, it's what they've earmarked. And we went to them and essentially what our ask was, and we didn't quite get what we asked for.
Use them, is that?
The Solid Waste Agency.
Okay.
We went to them and we said, hey, so we have this program. We tabulated. I will go ahead and hand out this, but it's really just the last page that's particularly important. Okay. So we said we've tabulated the cost of this at about $246,000. And a lot of that is existing costs, existing staff we have. But overall, to maintain this program, it's about $246,000 per year. We're looking at Josephine County covering about $148,000. And we're looking for the Solid Waste Agency to provide about $98,000, which we're hoping wouldn't be a big problem because they already have that $100,000 earmarked. There's some concerns on their side about, they don't provide funding for staffing. They provide funding for projects. This is a program that's reoccurring. They have they've approved for 1 year providing that $98,000 funding. But what they said is they won't provide above and beyond the current $100,000. Future years, they could be reassessed. But as of now, for the foreseeable future, they see $100,000 for us. We would eat that up, which means they wouldn't be providing funding to do the actual cleanup, which means... So I'm going to take a step back. We've had 12 properties actually go through the legal system, come to fruition and say, hey, no, you have an order. You have to clean up this property. Of those 12... 10 have opted to do it themselves, and they're working with planning to ensure that gets done. Then there's an additional 2 that, if the judge says you're going to clean that up, but they just don't have the social network or the money to do it, the question is what's the follow-on from there? And that's where we would have relied on the Solid Waste Agency to fund that cleanup.
Right. So right
place
now,
lien, and lien goes back
our
to that.
Administrative costs are coming out of Josephine County's 148.
Yes.
We cannot use any of the 98.
The 98
legal,
would also be...
For legal and all of the...
Oh, this covers legal. This covers legal. This provides for... this. So if you look at the program, the full 246,
right.
This covers all of planning times for the management and administrative side. It covers trucks and the other equipment needs. It covers environmental health specialists to do the public health hazard assessment. It covers legal... we aren't incorporating the costs of the sheriff's department just because that's incredibly difficult to tabulate, but they've been involved on most of these cases, so they're putting out a lot of work hours on that. So that's not incorporated.
But the actual cleanup, the $98,000, the only thing we can use that for is physically going out and removing the trash.
No, that $98,000 goes towards maintaining the program. We don't have money earmarked to actually go out and do cleanups.
But the job getting done, whether they do it themselves, whether we've leaned on them.
Yeah, so sometimes they agree to do a cleanup and they work with planning. Other times they've gone to court. Court said, thou shall. And then they actually buckled down and did it. The majority of the time, they wind up getting it done themselves. So credit to Rob Brandis. The way he viewed this is that 98,000, well, in fairness, the full 246, what that buys us is a greater capacity to go at these properties and actually apply that pressure, and at times apply legal pressure if necessary to get the cleanup done.
Can they enter into any kind of loan program to say, you know, we're going to go clean it up, but you're going to pay us back?
Well, that would have
been... Other than a lien that is there, we'll, you know, we may not get it back for 20 years.
Well, and that was my big question. What does this look like in terms of actually getting a return on putting this money in? And what I've been told is it's about 4 to 5 years. We'd start to see a regular return on what we're putting in annually, getting that back annually.
Okay, because the property sells or...
Some sell quick, some sell long. So after 4 to 5 years, it's just a regular return on that. But what isn't in here, what we don't have addressed in this, is where that money is going to come from when we actually want to go out and do the cleanup. So unless there's funding available in the county coffers, or whether we, Solid Waste Agency is pretty clear, as of right now, especially where they're at this year, they don't have the funds to be putting money towards these cleanups. The most expensive one we've seen so far was $22,000 for one property. That would definitely be off normal. That isn't what we'd expect most of the time. So,
well, and maybe this is a conversation to have later with finance and with Arthur, is maybe we should at budget time be putting money into the solid waste fund.
Well,
as part of our...
Not the solid waste agencies, but into our own internal...
Our own fund
enforcement
that the agency can tap.
So,
I guess.
I personally would support that, and I think it makes sense. There was a brief period of conversation at the Solid Waste Agency where they discussed withholding the $98,000 until the county agreed to put a dollar match on that, because they wanted to see us putting the same level of investment in. Because in their mind, that $100,000
we are investing $148,000.
Well, yeah, but in their mind, that $100,000 was for actually cleaning up. And instead, we want to put it towards a program. Now, what we're getting out of that program is far more
cleaning up. In other words, that this money
is on the property.
Yeah, but if we have it, if we apply pressure through the 246, we apply the pressure and the people take care of it themselves. End result is
more cleanup.
It's cleaned up.
Yes, that was
it's not. You know,
that was my thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they need to define what cleanup is.
Well, and yeah, in their mind, it was going onto a property, pulling the bad stuff off of it. Personally, the return on investment of that $98,000 is far greater going through this program than it would be going in and doing one property at a time.
Did you have something to say real quick?
Yeah, I've got
Arthur.
I do. The Solid Waste Agency is funded by the tipping fees that are collected from the customers and the clients throughout the county specifically for cleanup. And my understanding is, last time I checked, they had over $1 million sitting in their funds, you know, available for and for the specific purpose of property cleanup. So I find it a little unsettling for me for them to say, well, no, we're not going to give $100,000 until the county gives $100,000. Well, they have over $1 million sitting there specifically for cleaning up property. And
in
that's
Josephine
what
County.
In Josephine County, yes.
That's it.
This our solid waste agency. And so they should use that for cleaning up property without any kind of artificial connection of saying, well, the county needs to use general fund money or property tax dollars to clean up property.
Our contribution.
So I want to throw in real quick. Okay. I want to be clear. They didn't put that match requirement in. They just discussed it. And the reason why they discussed it is because, in their mind, funding this program isn't the same as doing a cleanup. So they felt they were going a little bit off normal from their mission. That was the reason for that thought process.
In my mind, our contribution to the cleanup, taking the cleanup holistically, our contribution to the cleanup is all the groundwork done by legal, by planning, by Denise, and we take the complaints, we're fielding the complaints, and why aren't you getting this cleaned up, blah, 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 blah. That's our contribution. They should pay for the actual cleanup if we had to go, we're going to bring the front end loader and the end dump out there, and you're going to pay for it.
Well, from what you just said, that means that that $98,000 that they're covering would need to come from the county, because that's part of that time with Denise and Julie, myself, legal. They're covering $98,000 of that total cost, the cost of maintaining that program.
I missed something there.
Okay, so the total cost of managing this program is just shy of $250,000.
Right, I got that part, yeah.
A lot of that is stuff that doesn't currently exist
within the county. There, you just clarified it for me.
Okay.
The total cost of managing the program, not actually cleaning anything out.
Yes.
But just breathing life into the whole program without cleaning anything out. So you're saying
we are currently short about $100,000.
But I think what I'm hearing Arthur say is they got a million something. Why can't we tap that and say, okay, we've done all the groundwork to get this thing, all the legal stuff. It is ready, shovel ready. I mean, steam shovel ready. And so we need $28,000 to clean this up, and that should come out of their $1 million. Otherwise, other than that, what are they paying for? They're just giving $98,000 a year, and where did they get their money? Where did you say
tipping they get? Fees for the each customer pays that every month on their bill.
Trash bills.
On their garbage company. Yes, so
correct.
Republic.
Correct. Yeah.
I'm going to misstate here, and I apologize, but I know, roughly speaking, their argument is they do a lot of other work, and a lot of that money is already earmarked to do other projects, and they've dipped into their reserves, and now they're trying to build the reserves back up to where they feel it's appropriate. So that's why they're not
working
money.
A little bit.
Yeah. I guess there was a very large project over the last couple of years that, I guess over the last 10 years or so, that dipped into their reserves. That's their argument. I'm just restating roughly what I heard.
That project could be Kirby Dump?
I don't know.
Yes, Kirby was referenced.
Okay.
As one of the projects.
And that's almost done, because that's been covered and recovered and covered and recovered and falls over.
Yeah, so once that stops, their statement was they're trying to build their reserve.
What do they anticipate that their reserve needs to be, their cushion?
I don't want to say it because I think I'd be wrong, but it was quite a bit.
Well, we can find out from them.
I'm pretty sure it was in the 70s.
I would just like to see us, if we're going to get really gung-ho about cleaning these compounds up, and I think that came to us when Commissioner Morgan and I first sat at this table. Denise sat down there. She was just, how many of these you have, Denise? And gosh, she had a stack, and she said, oh, this is
only what her back would allow her to carry.
Yeah, so you know, why don't you just take a handful of those and get started on them? And I think once we start doing what we're doing now, because we've cleaned up Pleasant Valley Road, we've cleaned up Camp Joy Road, we've cleaned up Twilight, we've cleaned up. Once I think that the general public sees that we are starting to come after these things, mm-hmm. first off, they will back off because they'll say, okay, this is the list. This is where we're going. And maybe we should publish a list and see these are the people we're hitting next and see if that embarrasses them into cleaning it up or whatever. I don't know.
Well, I know our tentative plan is Denise will be bringing, I believe, 12. I've heard it may go higher than that, but 12 properties every month saying, here's what our focus is.
Yeah.
So those 12 highest priority. What this program will allow us to do is do a much better, consistent, rigorous job in identifying what the highest priorities are.
Okay.
So, and mainly I just wanted you to be aware, particularly on that financial side, and because we have been kind of banking on getting that reoccurring funding from Solid Waste Agency in the form of that 98, which will allow us to hire additional staff, buy some equipment. But we're also going to rely on them to help fund the actual cleanup beyond that. And we won't have that. That'll have to be a conversation with Arthur.
Okay, so this is
It's not reinstated. We've never had a real formal solid waste program.
Okay, so this is So it's not reinstatement.
It's just instatement.
Statement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Precisely.
Creation of a solid waste program or something? Is that what you call it?
It is. We are. No, we don't want to call it that.
Clarification of the solid waste program? How can we word that?
Well, it's an existing program, and all he's trying to do is expand. So he's going to hire a few people.
Yeah.
And expansion so that's of, the just, current, of the solid waste
correct.
Program?
Yeah, and that's that just basically that's a personnel action form.
Yeah.
We're hiring additional staff to expand the program. So I don't think, is there a contract from the Solid Waste Agency that we need to sign for that 98, or is that just a grant that they've agreed to provide? Or
they've voted on it. So the follow-on is we just need to get approval for hiring of staff and buying of equipment, and that's something that will... JJ will obviously bring staff forward.
Yeah, so in my mind, it's not even a WBS item. It's just the standard, we're going to hire a new position. And that, yeah, I mean, add FTE to our current budget, so that comes before the board.
When we add the position.
Order type thing?
Yeah. Well,
okay, so we won't need any kind of presentation on this at all.
Not as it is right now. When we hire the position.
WBS, but it, we will when
it
we,
may be worth giving one, but it's not. It wouldn't be required.
Okay. Not next Wednesday. That's busy.
What gives you that idea?
I don't know. I heard.
You keep saying.
Okay. All righty.
Well, Wednesday's in the evening, because I don't think it should be that long.
Any other questions on this subject?
No. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I mean, this came to us that they wanted to do it, and we said, well, figure out if we got funding. Well, they found funding.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I'm excited. We're
kind of in a cart, or... chicken versus egg situation, because we wanted to come to you and ask to create the position, but you wanted to know we had funding, and then they didn't want to give us funding until they knew we had a position, and they've agreed to move forward. We just have to move forward.
Yeah.
So that'll be JJ coming to you on that one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, coming up next is item number 2, finance report and business update from Arthur Ware.
Free after this?
Nope. Okay. I have an 11 o'clock meeting, but then I'm free because Board of Health got canceled.
All right. Thank you very much.
The one thing I wanted to, I know Michael Cavallaro, yeah, sent us an email, all the commissioners and myself, on, and I just wanted to bring this to the board's attention. We received the email. We asked him to provide us with a list of what project add backs would be. If he had additional funding. And the board, I believe, just delegated that to Commissioner DeYoung and myself to discuss that and go through the list. Anyway, he sent us the list yesterday, and so just bringing to the board's attention that I will be getting together with Commissioner DeYoung to look at that list. As it is, the list is a fairly short list. The total for all items that he put there is $100,000. It spans scope from the portico to the ADA restrooms to returning to a metal roof on the building rather than asphalt shingles. So that's the. I just wanted to bring that to your attention that we did receive that and that.
Arthur and I will go over that, right. I think, and then we'll have a presentation to the full board.
Right.
You know, and I think it's kind of a cafeteria plan, but I think we could pick and choose, what we think is has value or none. All right. Any part of or none.
And I guess my question would be, where would the money come from?
Great question.
That is a question.
In my thinking, and there's various places we could do that, but we did get PILT funding above and beyond what we originally anticipated. So we basically received about $1.1 million more than what we had budgeted in this last year. The thinking was to put $1 million of that into the property reserve in order to have funds available for specific projects, whatever the board decides, whether that's, you know, to help out at the jail for evidence or what. That still leaves $110,000 that was not allocated, and you'll see on my, I sent you a spreadsheet.
And PILT's a one-time payment, it's not an annual?
It is actually an annual payment.
Why was it $1 million more than what we budgeted? That's
a good question, but the answer to that is that it was basically a result of the actual cuts. There's some fairly archaic formula where they determine how much they're going to give us in lieu of taxes, the payment in lieu of taxes from the federal government. So when they were doing the shared receipts, as those funds were going down, the PILT was going up. Now that they reinstated SRS, there's a little question in my mind whether PILT will continue to be at this elevated level.
But SRS is not shared receipts.
No, it's
not.
That's
my
Correct.
Problem.
Right.
We keep shuffling the deck, shared receipts and SRS, and
yeah.
the two are on two different planes. My question to the House of Representatives is, you know, we had two senators that told us it was $4 million and we only got $1.9. Did you authorize $4 million above and beyond
shared
receipts for sale of timber? If you did, what did they do with the $2.1 million? Because we didn't get it. It didn't come to us.
Well, they're up for re-election, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But they are, even though they're distinct, they do overlap a bit. And the shared receipts have been used to offset the SRS funding. The actual timber cuts have been used to help fund the SRS funding. And PILT has been used to offset the reduction in the timber receipts. But that being said, the way we've been budgeting PILT is we basically take what money we have in the bank, what we've actually received in the prior year, that's what we budget for the coming year.
Right.
So, you know, to the extent that we
know.
So
aren't you risking that it could go down?
It could go down.
Okay.
And it might go down. So, for example, we budgeted $730,000 in this last year. We got $1.8 million, so about $1.1 million more than what this year in our current 2018-19 year. I put in $1 million for
the budget.
PILT in the budget. We may get $1.8 million.
We may get $1.2 million.
We may
get $98 million.
We may, yes,
Nine.
Exactly. So I try to be a little bit cautious on predicting. We don't get the PILT funds till June. So I won't know whether that million is on or off until June of 2019.
But why are we not just putting this money towards deputies and expanding patrol and hiring detectives?
That's a possibility. That's an option. So as far
as the total
1.8?
I mean, that's what SRS is dedicated to.
Well, okay, PILT is the 1.8. SRS is more than that. Yeah.
But the PILT, what have we traditionally spent PILT on?
Traditionally, PILT has been general fund. And so it's gone into the general fund to support those general fund programs, which, of course, a majority of that has gone to law enforcement, but it also, general fund, of course, supports treasurer and clerk and all the other general veterans and all that other.
Then why aren't we taking the veterans' money out of PILT?
That's a possibility.
Instead of the Forest Trust
that's
is
a possibility.
Endangered.
Yeah.
If we get it every year.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Yeah, I think that's
another good point why we need to wait.
We already do support veterans, though, with general fund money.
Yes,
you know,
so there's no harm if PILT goes to general fund
yep.
to have it out of that one budget, and it's we are dedicating to veterans a program that brings in $97 million to our county of benefits because we support our veterans.
Yeah.
And it comes from our general fund. It's that important to us.
Yeah.
Not something that's wishy-washy that may not exist because we don't know what the forest is going to do.
If we took it out of general fund instead of out of forestry. Forestry, you said we had enough in there for a five-year program.
Sure, yeah.
But if we put it in, take it out of general fund, that had dedicated $100,000 a year for mm-hmm. her program, does that stretch that out to where we don't need to worry in 5 years?
Well,
put PILT in there.
Huh?
If we put PILT in there.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
We do put PILT in there.
Well,
so
you just said put it in the property reserve.
On my list of what I where I listed the marijuana money, the 3%, 17%, the SRS, the PILT, the Forestry Trust, I gave you a list of potential uses of these funds that were above and beyond what we had originally budgeted. In that on that list, only a suggestion or surmisal on my part, the $1 million of PILT was going to property reserve to help fund what we felt could be one-time projects, such as the evidence warehouse. But that doesn't necessarily have to be. That's a decision that I will bring back to the board. Just like Sean's, you know, her $210,000, that was one of them. The veterans is another one. So I'm bringing back, you know,
the requests
back to the board as I get with the directors and they're able to put something together. But your point is well taken. Yes, I have no problem. We already support the veterans with $200,000 of general fund to make that $300,000, you know, or to say that PILT is our source for veteran support.
You know, to me, when we get to our budget every year, it's so convoluted. Oh, it's this fund, it's that fund, it's this fund, it's that fund. Wouldn't it be nice if it were straightforward with one of them? Veterans is charged out of the general fund. Period. You know, oh no, you only have this much in that budget paper because we got to go over to this fund and find the rest of it. And when you're looking for what you're spending, it's not in one place.
Well, with veterans, it is. I mean, they have just the one fund in the general fund.
Not if we turn around and add it to the Forest Trust.
No, the Forest Trust would end up transferring money to general fund in order to cover the cost of the veterans. I mean, that's how it would work accounting-wise. Veterans would still be one program within the general fund. It's just their funding source would be, you know, ODBA grants.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's another option. Yeah. I'm looking at your spreadsheet here on the funding options. Mm-hmm. And the previous board, when we learned how the tax rate were going to go down, had said that the 3% LADPC would have a say in. So that's part of why we came up with the program to put the juvenile, which is that phase two? Is that why it's not on this list yet? Juvenile's not on your list, by the way. Oh, there it is. PO, school prevention specialist in the budget. School prevention specialist. We're just taking it out of mental health fund, but we should be taking it out of the 3% cannabis fund. The 3% was the local tax one that has to be spent on treatment, counseling or
prevention
and can be law enforcement as well. That was thrown in there, but we had told the previous board had promised LADPC they could have a say in that. Well, the outcome is that we wanted to put this juvenile PO prevention specialist in the schools. That's why that WINGS program is going there out of. Then she got separate money that was a one-time thing, so that's why we're paying for the WINGS out of that.
Right.
But the juvenile PO can be out of that 3% partially, and you know.
How much does that 3% bring us in?
We have 122,000 in there. It's 60,000 a year.
About 60,000 a year.
Okay.
It's. I'm just saying. It's,
no,
it's
I'm just surprised. You know, we talked about, oh boy, well, the county leaving 3% on the county. $60,000.
We're loaded.
There you are. But I understand why it's not a whole heck of a lot of money because we don't probably sell a lot of marijuana through our dispensaries around here.
Correct, yeah.
I mean,
they're all going up to Eugene and Portland. And
yeah, why buy grapes when you can just reach across the fence and pick them?
Yeah. So I don't disagree with that. I think
let's look that over.
So if you look on that same list, that same spreadsheet, you'll see that PILT above and beyond our budgeted amount, which it goes into the general fund, and so the budgeted amount is distributed with the general fund distribution to law enforcement or clerk or where planning. So if you look at what we have, we brought in $1.1 million above budget. The suggested, not committed, but suggested was $1 million to property reserve. That still leaves $110 of the PILT above what we had.
So that could be used for Mike Cavallaro to do the $100,000.
Correct.
I Let's, you and I will sit down and we'll go through those, and maybe we can have Mike over here or somebody's in the area and say, you know what, we're considering these.
It is in good faith that we're supporting this program, and at the contribution level, you get that open and done.
Yeah.
So I trust you to come up with a reasonable recommendation.
Right. And we agreed that we would take care of the $46,000.
Is that in addition to this?
Correct.
This is in addition to the $100,000. Okay. What we asked Mike was to say, to get to the $92,000 that he was short, what did you have to give up? Because maybe it's something we would find value here to say, you know, we're gonna cut doorknobs out,
right.
You know, handicap, and I see like the handicap sinks.
The ADA sinks and
motion
toilets.
Sinks.
You kind of need those in a senior place.
Exactly. Yeah. Motion sinks, and I'm sure that the fixtures up there probably need to be replaced anyway. So why not do the motion ones and do the motion
because they're annoying too.
And all that stuff, huh?
Because they're annoying. Sometimes just having a handle to grab is so much easier than having the automatics. Just saying.
Or you stand there and it's not working and you're moving and you're trying to make it.
How many people do you see?
Warm up your hands.
How many people
do
you see coming out of the restroom at the rest area going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All of them. Every rest area I've ever stopped at. I don't even need to ask if the hand blowers work because it's the guys coming out going like this. Every rest area.
So part of the list, I think, is are good things. Everything he listed, at least, are good things. So
yeah, they were talking about that they did away a couple of windows that they wanted to add just for natural lighting.
For daylight into the dining area.
$2,500 for two windows.
You know, honestly, no offense, but eating in a dark room isn't going to invite people to come in and eat.
Well, and on top of that, you know, I'm of that group. They're elderly, and lighting, a lot of times, you know, I can read a book under some light, and I don't even see it. Yeah. But if I had natural light, I think it would be upbeat. So, and it was only $4,500, if I remember correctly, in that list. So
for the windows.
We'll go over that. If we have any questions, we'll get a hold of Michael. But I think I would like to see if there's any way possible that we can fund that $100,000. I think I'm going to lean towards that. Yeah. Just at a quick glance at the list, but we'll go through the list. Okay. Anything else for Arthur at this time? Commissioner Morgan?
No, sir. You know my opinions. I share them frequently with you. As do you share yours with me.
It's nice that we have that ability to
back and forth. So.
The banter is healthy.
Other business, item number 3?
Honestly, I don't at this time. Mainly because I want to get ready for my 11 o'clock meeting.
Yes, I'm trying to be cautious.
It's not your fault. It's
I got that. I'd like when Commissioner Harris gets back. I would like to respond and to the editor's diatribe in the paper Tuesday night.
I didn't see it.
Oh my gosh, you need to read it.
Okay.
And I think it's time that we had a powwow, either myself go down there, and, you know, he has a tendency to say anything he wants because he never steps foot in this building to find out what he's talking about.
Have you thought about talking to his bosses as well?
To what?
His bosses.
Yes, I have. Because I think he stepped way over the line this time. He called us names and ludicrous and laughable. Advisory question and why aren't we doing this and why aren't we doing that, but yet he absolutely says what a rookie he is and a flatlander is, because he's, oh well, Bear Camp Road is one of those roads that the state take care of, thank you, you know, and all of a sudden that is not the purpose of the advisory question. It had to do with decommissioning of roads that were existing that we don't have now to gain access, not curb the fire and use for fire life, but to gain access to fight the darn thing. And he doesn't get any of that because I don't think he is up here. But I would like to have a conversation. I don't know whether we do that in executive session or not, as to how we should respond to the editor from here on out. So that's something you can think about, Commissioner Morgan. Okay?
Okay.
I also talked yesterday... and this is just a pipe dream. I'm hoping it comes to pass. But District 7 Schools wants to replace the roof on Redwood Elementary because it's leaking in places they don't know where. And that's all metal roofing out there. And I've talked to, I've reached out to James Lowe. He's going to get me the phone number and email address for, I believe it's somebody on the school board. But I would like that when they do that job, I would like to see if they could salvage those panels, because we could use those panels to re-roof the livestock barns at the fairgrounds. We don't care if one or two of them leaks, because it's a livestock barn. But we've got the whole roof on the livestock barn just crumpled up. It's all rolled up there. It's just an absolute mess. And if we could use those panels I made, I didn't know they would move that fast. But when they started to tear down
Southern Oregon
Medical Center, I should have been on the phone to Asante to say, hey, don't rip all that stuff up with the thumb. We'll just go ahead and take the panels, because that would have probably been enough to do those barns also. And so James Lowe was, he's the maintenance supervisor over there, and he said, you know, let's see what it takes to get those panels off. But that might be something they put into the RFP, that the panels will be salvaged. And if we can do that, I think we would be dollars ahead out there at that fairground. Because then you fix the sheathing, you roll down the felt, and you put the metal on top of it, and it's done. We'll never have to see that again.
That would be nice.
And it would look nice.
That'd be good.
It would look nice, and if we did spring a leak over one of the sheep pens, that's where his water trough is. So it's an automatic waterer when it rains.
If we can line it up that way. All right.
We'll line it up that way. We can move the pens. Other than that, I didn't have much of any. Oh, we met yesterday. Larry and I, Grace and I, met with the
smoke jumpers
out of Illinois Valley Airport. It was a unanimous decision from the smoke jumpers to leave the house on site exactly where it is and repurpose it. And of course, that's not what I wanted. That's not what Larry wanted.
That's not what planning agreed to with the development permit.
Exactly.
And they were told that.
Exactly. But that's what they want, so we're going to work. We have a lot of caveats as to what that thing would look like when it was done, how it was repurposed. One of the things is it is not going to be, and we were very strong in our statement, that it is not a smoke jumper asset. It is an airport asset. And so they figure they can rebuild the whole thing.
I'm just trying to clarify what you're saying.
We're going through planning.
So planning said no. The option was you move it or we tear it down.
Right.
And so they didn't want to move it, so therefore we're tearing it down.
We have to go back to planning with their proposal and see if that's something that can happen.
Okay.
Process.
Yep.
But we told them that if they were going to do that, it had to have a shake exterior instead of T111 so that it matches, it's consistent with the rest of the building. What they wanted to repurpose it into is an office for Jason for the airport. Because right now he's upstairs in a hangar. As it doesn't get warm up there in the summertime, does it? Oh, yeah. So move Jason's office, would have an office in that house. They would have an office in there, and then there would be a small meeting room. One bathroom, no kitchen.
Well, good luck with that.
What's that?
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I understand all your reservations, because I'm dealing with that. There's one guy there that I really respect, and so we'll see what it turns out like. It is not the way I would like to see it, because they said, well, you know, we want to repurpose it. I said, your options were demolition or movement. That's what you were supposed to go to the Smoke Jumpers Association with. And they said neither one of those was acceptable to them. I said, keeping in mind, this is a Josephine County Airport with a smoke jumper element, museum element, not a smoke jumper base with a public airport element. It is a Josephine County Airport. It's the Illinois Valley Airport, owned by the county in its entirety, lock, stock, and barrel. So, you know, we looked at a number of different things, and Larry and I went to lunch afterwards and talked about it. He goes, well, are you happy? I said, well, I'm not ecstatic, but if they can make it look good, and they seem to have all, they have a whole list. I said, I want a whole list of what you're going to do and the timeline that you're going to do it. That's the main thing. If they're going to drag it out to, oh, yeah, we're going to work out there every weekend till it's done, that isn't what I'm looking for, because it'll never get done. So.
Well, and that list has to include the asbestos abatement and...
Oh, yeah.
Mold.
Yeah, yeah, mold.
It wasn't inhabitable, but inhabitable.
No.
As it was, so...
Well, they wanted originally was, is redo it, put Jason, take the mole home and put them down at the industrial park. So he could live down there.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do in an industrial park.
And we're not...
Reside.
No, we're not. And we said, no, time out. That's not going to work. This isn't how that's going to work. So, anyway, we're working on it. We had some questions. They're going to go back to their organization and get us a timeline and so on and so forth. And then we'll bring it to the board. See what the board says.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. With that, we are adjourned at 10:49.